Thank you. Thank you. Great. Now, kids, if you want to get a sheet, a colouring sheet, there's a sheet there that will activity sheet that fits with the sermon and what we're talking about today. So feel free to grab one of those off the welcome table if you haven't got one already. But we're just going to pray now, and we're going to ask for God's help just as we continue to think about the ascension of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God of compassion, fathomless grace, and of mercy. And Lord, we thank you so much that you have had mercy on us in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place, to rise again. And we thank you, Lord, that he is now seated at your right hand, ruling and reigning, the risen Lord Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd help us now as we continue to think about this. We pray that you'd help us to see the implications from your word. And we pray, Lord, that you'd send us out too as people of compassion into this broken and hurting world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is great to be together as two congregations. And I was thinking about it during the week. I actually want to start by casting a vision. Because we moved very deliberately to two congregations after COVID, but we didn't do it because of COVID primarily. We did it because of our own mission. We want to see more people in Kingborough come to know and love and serve the Lord Jesus. And here's my vision. Wouldn't it be cool if at both congregations it felt like this? Yeah, this would be good. This would be good if it was full to the back and we had to even move up here or wherever to fit us all in. And wouldn't it be awesome to do this twice on a Sunday with two different congregations, praising the Lord, hearing his word together and celebrating all that he's done for us. So there's my vision for us to work towards and to pray to the Lord Jesus that he would help us to reach more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus so that we can do this twice. And even then, that wouldn't be enough, would it? Because we can't measure our vision by our barns. We've got to do it by the world, by the globe. And so even if we would fill this twice, it wouldn't be enough. There's still more people in Kingborough who need to hear about the Lord Jesus. So there we go. That's my vision. But I want to talk this morning just a little bit more about the ascension of Jesus. It's a big word. It's the word to describe Jesus going up into the clouds and being taken not just into the sky, but to be seated at the right hand of the Father in that position of all authority in heaven and on earth. Tim Chester called this the forgotten doctrine of the church. He says, we like the incarnation. Who loves Christmas? We all love Christmas. And we know about Easter, the death of Jesus. And we rightly focus on the resurrection, don't we, on Resurrection Sunday. We get excited. That's a big day in the life of a Christian church. We celebrate the rising of Jesus out of the tomb, out of the grave, and back to life. But the forgotten bit, the bit that we sort of struggle with, is what do we do when he takes off into the clouds and leaves us behind? What do we do with that? And yet it's such an important part, and I feel like we're a little bit like those disciples, those first disciples who are left gazing up into the heavens, not quite sure what to do with this now that Jesus has left them and gone. And we're sort of looking up into heaven, wondering what's going on. Well, the ascension, I want to make three quick points about the ascension of Jesus Christ. And the first one is that the ascension is our basis for going on mission. Many people like to think about the incarnation, God becoming a man, as their motivation and their methodology. There's some big words for you kids. They like to think of that, the incarnation, Jesus, God becoming a man, a Christmas. They like to think, use that as their understanding to help them think about mission. And so they say that the key to mission is that we should be incarnational. We should understand the culture of the people we're trying to reach. And we should enter into their world in order to reach them with the gospel. And it's true, isn't it? Because we're told to become like all things to all people. So to reach the Jews, we can become like a Jew. And to reach the Gentiles, we become like the Gentiles. To reach the Gentiles, become all things to all people so that we might save some. And so there's something very true and wonderful and right about that. But and also people have made big mistakes in mission when they haven't done that because they've, you know, romped in and haven't understood the people and the culture and how they think and all that kind of stuff. So there can be some mistakes there, and we need to think about a Jesus methodology in mission of becoming like the people he's trying to reach. But you know what's really interesting is that the book of Acts, the big missions book in the Bible that we read from before, the book of Acts, it doesn't begin with the Christmas story. And Luke loves the Christmas story. I mean, he gives us the longest account of the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, but he doesn't begin with that. You know, he ends the book of Luke with the ascension of Jesus. He's one of the few writers who actually tells us that Jesus was taken up into heaven. And then he begins his second volume, the book of Acts, mentioning three times in this first chapter, verse 2, verse 9, and verse 22, that Jesus, he mentioned three times that Jesus was taken up. And then in verse 10 and verse 11, he says four times that Jesus went into heaven, in two verses, into heaven, that phrase twice, or into the sky. And then five times in this chapter, he mentions that it happened visibly, that they saw this as they were looking, this happened. Five times he mentions that. And then in the next chapter, Peter preaches this amazing sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he says that the pouring out of the Spirit is actually proof that Jesus is now enthroned and ruling and reigning. And so in chapter 2, verse 30, he says this is proof that Jesus is on David's throne. In chapter 2, verse 33, he says that Jesus has now been exalted to the right hand of God. He's been seated, verse 34, at God's right hand. And then he finishes up his sermon by saying, here's his conclusion. Therefore, he says, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ, or Messiah, King. And so the point of Peter's Pentecost sermon is that Jesus has been raised, not just to life, because we often get that far in the story of Jesus. We celebrate his resurrection. But the point of Peter's sermon is not just that he's been raised to life, but that he's been raised to lordship. Can you see the difference? And that's the big thing about the gospel message, is that Jesus is not just alive, he's the King. He's not just risen, he is ascended. And according to Luke, it's this ascension of Jesus into heaven, this taking up of Jesus into heaven and him being seated at the right hand of God the Father, that is the catalyst for mission. That is the reason for mission. And Luke's not alone, because as Aaron mentioned before, it's not just Luke who does this, but it's Matthew. At the climactic end of Matthew's gospel, we get the Great Commission. We call it great because it is great, because Jesus says there, doesn't he? He says that all authority, just hold those words, all authority. That's authority over everything. Every hair on your head, every sparrow that falls to the ground, every virus, every bacteria, everything. There's nothing that happens in this world that doesn't happen because Jesus is King, that he commissions. Everything that happens in our lives is because Jesus is King. He's ruling and reigning. He's sovereign over everything. And Matthew says, recording the words of Jesus, that all authority in heaven and on earth, spiritual and physical, all authority has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, can you see the link? What is the link? What is the motivation for mission? It is the authority of Jesus. It's the giving that compels the going. It's the giving of all authority. It's in Daniel's language, he pictures one like the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days, and the Ancient of Days giving him a kingdom and power and authority that lasts forever. It's that compels the going. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Why of all nations? Well, because they belong to Jesus. Because he's King, they're going to have to account to him. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. See, he's commanding, he's King. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The basis of the going is the giving. It's because all authority has been given to Jesus that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. John Stott says that the highest missionary motivation is not obedience. That's surprising, isn't it? Because I think, why should we go? Well, Jesus said so. He says the highest missionary motivation is not love for the lost who are perishing, although that's a very real concern when we think about the wrath of God. No, he says the highest missionary motivation is zeal, passionate, burning zeal for the majesty of Jesus and his kingdom. And John Piper, he says the same thing. He says the reason mission exists in the world today is because worship doesn't. Jesus is on his throne reigning, but people aren't worshiping him. And they will one day, and they need to bow the knee now before they will have to finally. So there we go. That's the first thing. The ascension is the basis for our going on mission. Not only that, the ascension is, we're going to whiz through these, the ascension is the basis for staying on mission. And the book of Acts, how you think about the book of Acts? It's the Acts of who? The Acts of the, most people would say the apostles. But you know what's funny is that the apostles fade out after chapter 1. So it's not so much the Acts of the apostles. Most of them aren't mentioned after chapter 1. Well, some people think, no, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because he's very prominent in the book of Acts. But I don't think it's that either. No, it's the Acts of the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Luke records all that Jesus began to do and teach in his earthly ministry. And the implication is in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, that the book of Acts is now writing about all that the risen and reigning Jesus is continuing to do from heaven. So his location has shifted from earth to heaven, and Luke records all that he began to do and teach, but Acts records all that he continues to do in his rule and reign from heaven through the apostles, yes, through the Holy Spirit, yes, and through his disciples, even to the end of the age. And so, you see, I used to think of the Great Commission like this. Growing up in a church, you know, I was a Christian growing up in a church and my parents were Christians. And so I thought, I heard about the Great Commission. You've got to go and make disciples. And I thought, well, you know, it will happen if the church gets round to it. You know, it really depends on us to get our gear together, get our act together to go and do it. It might happen in my life. You know, it might happen. And so I sort of thought, well, you know, the events of the Gospels, Jesus dying and rising, we know that they must take place. Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer and die. It's the divine necessity. It must happen. But then after that, it's kind of like a loose end, I thought. I thought, well, the mission of Jesus, you know, it might happen, but it really depends if people get to their act together. But actually, it's different to that. Because Luke tells us that, yes, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, but he also tells us that repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations. It will be. So it will happen. It both were written in the Old Testament, both were predicted, both will take place. That's God's twin purposes. The events of the Gospels necessitate the events of Acts and the mission to the world. So the mission of the church is not optional. It will take place because Jesus is on the throne. He's reigning and ruling. And so it cannot fail. At the end of the book of Acts, the word of God, with all the hindrances and persecutions and sufferings and beatings that the Christians go under, the word of God still goes unhindered at the end of Acts. And so the mission of Jesus continues. And, you know, with everything that's happened in 2020, we need something to base our lives on that is certain, something rock solid, something that's sure. And as we go and give and serve and sacrifice in missions, Luke is writing to assure us that it cannot fail, not ultimately. And so it's our basis, the sovereignty, the sovereign rule of the ascension of Jesus is our basis for staying on mission. And then finally, and even quicker, the ascension of Jesus is our basis for urgency in mission. You see, if Jesus only rose from the dead, then it wouldn't matter how we treat him. If Jesus only rose from the dead, it wouldn't matter how we treat him. Just another miracle. Another religious guy who came and went, and yes, there were some miracles. But here's the difference, you see. If Jesus has not only risen from the dead, but has now been made Lord of heaven and earth, then men and women and children all around the globe need to repent and be baptized. If Jesus only rose from the dead to life, we might excuse it. We might just move on with our lives. But Jesus has not just risen to life, he has risen to lordship. And that's the thing. And so in the sermon in Acts chapter 2, they cry out, what should we do? When they hear that Jesus is sovereign Lord, he's been exalted to the right hand of the Father, they say, what should we do? And Peter says, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you. Not just some of you. Every one of you need to repent. Even if you've grown up in a Christian home and been good all your life, you've got to repent. Repent of your good deeds. Repent of your bad deeds. Turn your life around and start living for King Jesus. Make him the king of your life instead of you. Because even if you grow up in a Christian family, you still grow up thinking, I'm the boss. I'm going to do what I want. I've got the crown on my head. No, you've got to take it off your head and put it on Jesus' head and say, I'm going to live under you with you as my boss. You've got to repent and you've got to be baptized. Say to the church, I'm going to follow Jesus. Say to the world, your non-Christian friends, say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And that's why our core value here at Summer Lees is mission. It's because Jesus is on the throne. He's reigning. He's ruling. He's sovereign over everything. And that's why we want to get behind the Durdens. So thankful that we can partner with them in mission because Jesus is on the throne. And every nation, Cambodia, all the other nations, we all need to hear about King Jesus. And so we need everyone, all the gifts of the church, everyone's got different gifts. We need to work together as a body to reach the world and tell them that Jesus is on the throne. And that's why we want to get behind you, every one of you. As you repent, make Jesus the king of your life and get baptized, we want to get behind you in that as a church and celebrate that with you and help you as disciples, teaching you everything that Jesus taught and knowing that the Holy Spirit is with us even to the end. So there we go. The ascension of Jesus. Let's pray and come before his throne now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can approach your throne, your holy, majestic, awesome throne upon which Jesus is seated, and we can come boldly to your throne because of the work you've done on the cross in paying for our sins, dying for us, and rising again. And Lord, we come to you humbly this morning because we realize that we haven't lived our lives under your authority. We haven't lived our lives under your rule. All of us have gone our own way. We've lived for ourselves. We've put ourselves first. We've said, I'm the boss. And Lord, today we want to repent. We not only want to say sorry for what we've done, we want to acknowledge that even our best deeds were a failure. And we're proud and we need to repent of our pride. And Lord, we realize that even we haven't sought you. We haven't loved you as we should have. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would please give us your Holy Spirit. Please pour out your Holy Spirit on us even today. Fill our hearts, our lives with your Spirit so that we would want to do your will. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us even to the end, that you would work in us by your Spirit to help us go and make disciples of all nations. And so we pray that you would help us in this. Thank you for the Durdens, Lord. We pray for your blessing on them. We thank you for them. We pray that you help them now as soon as they share. And we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.